very strong, very good leader. He's a nice man, but he could be nasty. He could be very nasty. Maybe as nasty as anybody.
How?
I think Canada, let me put it this way. I can tell you this because I deal with lots of leaders all over the world. He is a world-class leader. He's a man that knows what he wants. And I'm not surprised to see that he won the election and won it substantially. And I would think he's more popular now. He's a good man. He does a great job, and he's a tough negotiator.
So then what's holding things up? If he's a great man and you want to do a deal with Canada, why aren't you?
Because I want to be a great man, too. Thank you very much.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 8th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Biden and Ukraine. Bidenopoulos, Greece's favorite son, and some reports that Biden had the intel agencies in the United States suppress. And these reports were released by CIA Director Ratcliffe the other day. And what these reports show, heavily redacted reports, by the way, but what they show is that Biden, he told the intel agencies not to release a report which talked about Biden's double standards, his hypocrisy when dealing with corruption in Ukraine. These are from the time period when Biden was Obama's vice president, 2015, I believe, is the date of these documents that Ratcliffe has released. And basically Biden, what he asked of from the intel agencies was that they don't release a report which said that Ukrainian officials were very upset with Biden because Biden would go to Ukraine and he would lecture them about corruption while at the same time he had all kinds of family business in Ukraine. For example, his son and Burisma. And so Ukrainian officials did not like the double standards from the Obama White House, from Vice President Biden, who was at the time pretty much running Ukraine. Actually, one of the reports says that Biden was so involved in Project Ukraine that he was so in charge of Project Ukraine that he would actually travel to Kiev, and along with Poroshenko, who was president at the time, they would discuss personnel decisions, hiring people for government positions. And one of the trips that Biden was taking to Kiev, Poroshenko was under the impression that they were going to decide on various personnel hires for Poroshenko's administration. But when Biden arrived to Kiev, they didn't talk about personnel and anything like that. Biden came to Kiev. He arrived in Kiev and he just started to lecture Poroshenko and his government and the parliament about corruption and stuff like that. And they didn't like Biden lecturing them about corruption. The intel report notes that Ukrainian officials saw it as double standards coming from the White House. So Ratcliffe, he posted on X, "Today I declassified CIA intelligence regarding Ukraine after determining it is in the public interest." And there you can see the reports with lots of redactions. And Fox News, they are reporting that Biden didn't want intel disseminated showing Ukrainian concerns over families' corrupt business ties. Ratcliffe declassified an intel report revealing Ukrainian officials viewed Biden family business deals as evidence of a double standard within the United States government towards matters of corruption and political power. So one of the reports that was released has the title of a PDB, which is a presidential daily brief. And it says, and I quote, "Good morning. I just spoke with VP NSA, and he would strongly prefer the report not be disseminated. Thanks for understanding." The email states, signed by a redacted name, but with the title a PDB briefer. So the report was all about Ukrainian officials complaining about Biden and the double standards and the hypocrisy with regards to lecturing them about corruption. And Biden, he told the intel agencies to not publish the report because it would highlight his family business ties to Ukraine. So that is what has been published by Ratcliffe. Anyone that has been following the Ukraine story going all the way back to the Maidan coup is not surprised by everything I am reporting. But still, it is interesting to get the documents, to actually see the documents and read the communication that was taking place between Biden, then Vice President, and the intel communities, and to see how the intel agencies, they helped cover for Bidenopoulos, right? Bidenopoulos said, don't release these reports. And the intel agencies said, sure, we will not release them. So anyway, that is what Ratcliffe has released. And we can now move on from Bidenopoulos to the European Union. And we are getting reports that the EU is trying to go hard after Russia's shadow fleet. The shadow fleet. Yeah, they are trying to put together some sort of a legal framework so that they can start to seize Russia's tankers that are in international waters in the Baltic Sea. And one of the things that the European Union is doing is that they are saying that some of the tankers in Russia's shadow fleet, that they have been given flags, illegally have been given country flags to operate with. And this gives them the legal grounds to seize these tankers. I think we're talking about, I want to say, eight to 10 tankers that the European Union has allegedly identified as having received country flags illegally. And so they want to seize these tankers if they are in the Baltic Sea. And that is how the EU is trying to put together some sort of a legal framework, some sort of legality to their piracy. They're trying to legalize their piracy is basically what the European Union is trying to do. And if Russia does not respond to the seizure, to the piracy of the tankers, then the European Union is just going to continue to seize tankers. That's at the end of the day, that's what this is really all about. You can put together whatever type of legal frameworks or excuses you want, but at the end of the day, if those ships, those tankers are seized, and Russia continues to not do anything about it, then the collective West, the European Union, the member states are going to just to continue to seize those tankers, right? And it's not going to really matter so much about preparing some sort of legal cover or anything like that. They're just going to seize the tankers, knowing that Russia is not going to retaliate in any way. So that's what the European Union is putting together. Basically, they're signaling that they're going to start closing off the Baltic Sea. That's basically what they're signaling. They're trying to figure out the excuse to begin to cut off the Baltic Sea to Russian tankers. So that's one developing story. And then we have Bloomberg talking about how China is joining Russia's shadow war on Europe. So we go from Russia's shadow fleet, the shadow tankers, to China joining Russia's shadow war. Everything is about shadows when it comes to Russia, right? They operate in the shadows, shadow tankers, shadow wars. Only the light of NATO, of the collective West, of the European Union can take on the shadows of Russia. It's Hollywood scripts, right? Light versus dark, shadows versus sunlight, good versus evil. That's basically what the Collective West media script writers are putting together. So we don't have tankers. We have shadow tankers. We don't have a war. We have a shadow war. And China is getting involved in this shadow war. Oh my God. China is going to be on the side of the shadows. And this has to do with various reports which claimed that China was providing some of the targeting for Russian missiles. Obviously, this is projection. This is the collective West, NATO, confessing that they are the ones that have been and are providing the targeting for whatever drone and HIMAR attacks or missile attacks that Ukraine conducts and has been conducting in this conflict. But now they are saying that it's China that is providing the targeting for Russia, right? China. NATO doesn't provide any targeting. The United States doesn't provide any targeting or intel. Nope, it is China providing the targeting and intel for Russia. So that's what this is really all about. And of course, they put the clever title of China joining Russia's shadow war. It is a shadow war. So sticking with Europe, there are more and more calls for Macron to step down. Macron must go. Macron must go. And a lot of these calls are coming from his former prime ministers. And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of former prime ministers from Macron's tenure as president. From 2022... Macron has gone through 5 prime ministers, and now you have some of the prime ministers like Edouard Philippe, who is now saying that in order to preserve France and for the good of France, Macron should call elections, not only parliament elections, but presidential elections, and he needs to step down. Man, look at all the prime ministers that Macron has gone through. Edouard Philippe in 2020, Castex in 2022, Elizabeth Borne 2024, Attal 2024, Barnier 2024, Bayrou 2025, and Le Carnu. He has gone through a ton of freaking prime ministers, Macron. Man, jeez, that's a record in and of itself, all the prime ministers that Macron has gone through. But I think it's not only Philippe that is calling for Macron to call elections and to step down, presidential elections. I believe Gabriel Attal is also calling for Macron to step down for the good of France. But there was a report today in Politico which claimed that Le Carnu is actually making some headway as he continues to negotiate with the left and the right in France in order to avoid a parliament election, not a presidential election, but a parliament election. So yesterday I talked about how Macron asked Le Carnu to stay on as prime minister, at least until Wednesday, and to negotiate with the opposition parties so that they can avoid some sort of a parliamentary election. And according to Politico, Le Carnu is saying that he has some good news to report to Macron later on today, which may indicate that Le Carnu, though he is resigning, at least that's the way it looks, he is going to be resigning. He may have been able to convince the opposition not to press for parliamentary elections. So that's interesting reporting coming from Politico. So from France, we shift gears and we talk about Poland and Donald Tusk. Donald Tusk of Poland. He said yesterday, Mr. Tusk, that Poland should not extradite Vlad Z. You know who I'm talking about? The guy that Poland has in their custody, who allegedly was one of the people that blew up Nord Stream. And he's in Poland, and Germany is telling Poland, they're asking Poland to extradite Vlad Z, not Sergei K. Sergei K is the guy that is in Italy. Vlad Z is the guy that is in Poland. And Poland, according to Tusk, is not so hot on the idea of extraditing Vlad Z to Germany. And Tusk's statement on this is pretty strange, the way Tusk explains this this decision, or this want from his administration to not extradite Vlad Z. Here is what Tusk said. It is certainly not in the interest of Poland to hand over this citizen to a foreign country, the prime minister said. The problem of Europe, the problem of Ukraine, the problem of Lithuania and Poland is not that Nord Stream 2 was blown up, but that it was built. An interesting statement from Donald Tusk. The problem was not that Nord Stream 2 was blown up, but the problem, according to Donald Tusk, was that Nord Stream 2 was built. That's the problem, and that's why we are not so hot on the idea of extraditing Vlad Z to Germany. And Tusk calls Germany a foreign country. That's how he phrased his statement. Extradite Vlad Z to a foreign country. Come on, Tusk. Is that how you talk about your buddy Merz in Germany? They're just a foreign country to you? I thought they were your buddies, your pals. I thought they were your allies in the European Union, your allies in NATO. Now they're just a foreign country? They are a foreign country, but still. Man, kind of cold from Donald Tusk, but kind of a weird statement from the Prime Minister of Poland, huh? The problem was not the blowing up of Nord Stream 2. The problem was that it was built. Okay, Prime Minister Tusk. You don't want to extradite Vlad Z. Why do you not want to extradite Vlad Z to Germany? Very odd indeed. So speaking of Nord Stream, let's talk about Seymour Hersh, who wrote quite an incredible article on Nord Stream a couple of years ago. And Seymour Hersh, he has written a pretty interesting article yesterday on Donald Trump with the title, Is Trump in Cognitive Decline? The view from inside is that the president has been slipping. According to Seymour Hersh, he claims that Trump is not able to read the room anymore. In his first term, he was a showman. He was a great marketing man, according to Seymour Hersh, and he was able to read the room when giving a speech, and he was able to improvise and come up with all kinds of interesting statements and speeches that caught everyone's attention and was relevant to the event, according to Seymour Hersh. But now he says that Trump is just not able to do that anymore. And what happens now when Trump gives speeches is that he just falls back on various talking points. For example, he always falls back on how he has solved 8 wars or something like that. So he'll give a speech and instead of improvising and coming up with some new interesting statements, Trump just talks about how he has ended 7 or 8 wars, and many times Trump going off on this point about ending wars, according to Seymour Hersh, has nothing to really do with the audience or the event that Trump is speaking at. So Seymour Hersh puts out the question, is Trump in cognitive decline? Interesting article from Seymour Hersh. What do you guys think? Does Seymour Hersh have a point? Trump definitely is saying some weird stuff about tomahawks to Ukraine, huh? Definitely making some strange, confusing statements about his decision with regards to Tomahawk long-range missiles to Project Ukraine. The Telegraph actually put out an article with the title, Ukraine Prepares for Delivery of Tomahawk Missiles They Can't Fire. That's the article from the Telegraph. The Telegraph says that the rockets to be used as leverage to ramp up pressure on Putin gradually, Ukrainian security chief says. So the Telegraph, they're basically trying to explain Trump's statement from yesterday about his decision to send Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine or to not send Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine. We still really don't know what the decision is, but the Telegraph is trying to explain it as some sort of negotiating leverage from the Trump White House. And the Telegraph is basically saying that Trump may send the Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine, but Ukraine cannot use them. But this will put pressure on Putin to come to the negotiating table. And if Putin does not come to the negotiating table, then Trump might say that he will give Ukraine the ability, the launching platform to use the Tomahawks. And then maybe that will get Putin to the negotiating table. And if Putin still doesn't come to the negotiating table after that threat, then Trump may actually give the green light to launch the Tomahawks into Russia. So basically, this is some sort of negotiating tactic or some sort of leverage escalation being employed by the U.S. president so that he can get Putin to the negotiating table and get some sort of a deal on Ukraine. So that's how the Telegraph is trying to explain Trump's statements from yesterday. So Greta Thunberg, she was released, deported from Israel, and she made her way to Greece, actually. And she has now issued a statement saying that, and I'm getting this from Reuters, that She was tortured in Israeli detention. Greta Thunberg alleges torture in Israeli detention after Gaza flotilla arrest. Greta did not get into any details as to what happened when she was in detention. She just mentioned, according to Reuters, that she was denied water for a long period of time, and then she said that she doesn't want to get into any of the details as to what happened because it takes away attention from what is happening in Gaza. That is what Greta said. So she didn't get into any of the details as to her arrest. Israel, the Israeli Foreign Ministry, is denying that they tortured any of the passengers on the flotillas, any of the people that were arrested. And the Israeli Foreign Ministry is saying that they were given access to legal representation. They were given water, food, and access to toilets and stuff like that. So that is what the Israeli Foreign Ministry is saying. Anyway, that is the comment from Greta, as she is now in Greece. So there are nine more ships, I believe, that are now on the way towards Gaza to try and break the blockade. But I don't think the nine ships will be able to get through. If 40 ships were not able to get through, I don't see why nine ships, this next flotilla, is going to be able to make it to Gaza. But anyway, that is an update on that. And finally, before we get to our clown world, let's talk a bit about Denmark, which is now putting in place, or wants to put in place, a ban on social media for kids under 15 years old. and Denmark, they are saying that social media is very bad for the kids, and they want to put together this ban. So no social media for kids under 15. It's correct that social media is bad, toxic, no doubt about it. Never before have so many children and teenagers suffered from anxiety and depression. Screens and online platforms damage the psyche, rob teenagers of their ability to concentrate, and deprive them of their childhood. This is according to Prime Minister Frederiksen, who is a big time supporter of the Green Goblin. She said that social media has become a monster. We've unleashed a monster, is what she said. We've unleashed a monster. So yeah, it absolutely is bad for kids. I buy that. Could be good as well, but has a whole lot of bad. I don't know if you should ban children. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I would probably say that is not the right thing to do. But the part that worries me about what Frederiksen is doing is that this is just all part of the plan in order to eventually roll out some sort of internet ID or something along those lines, where eventually you're going to have to submit your passport or your driver's license or your digital ID or something like that to log into the internet, or to sign into social media. That's where they want to take this. That is where they want to take this. And so they always start with some sort of policy that's connected to kids and protecting the children, like we saw in the UK, right? That's how they start, and then eventually they roll out the censorship and the banning and stuff like that for everyone. So that's the part of this thing that is going on in Denmark from Frederiksen that is worrying. So anyway, that is an update on that story, and we will get into clown world territory today, and it's a good one. Today's clown world is a good one. And it has to do with the man with the chainsaw, Mr. Milei of Argentina, who has a new book out that he is promoting. The book is called The Construction of the Miracle. And He was at an event to promote this book. 15,000 people, from what I understand, attended this book promotion event, which turned into a rock concert. That's right. Millay was belting out the rock songs at this concert. The concert goers were loving it. The supporters of Millay were loving it. His critics were hating it. And they have all the right to criticize Millay, because Argentina is now getting, what are they getting, a 20 or 40 billion bailout from the IMF, or they've received 40 billion from the IMF. They're asking the Trump White House to give them another 20 billion, of which Besant at first said yes, but now it looks like Besant is trying to walk that back, and he's cooling on the idea of 20 billion to Argentina. But Argentina's in a world of financial hurt. And there are also scandals around Milei and his administration, actually. There are some scandals there as well. So when things are falling apart, what do you do? If you're the leader of Argentina, things are falling apart, what do you do? Well, I think about the movie Animal House, where Dean Wormer, the scene where Dean Wormer calls in the brothers of Delta House into his office, and he lets them know that they have been on double secret probation and that Delta House is going to be shut down by the university and that they will be kicked off campus. And their reaction to the bad news from Dean Wormer was to have a toga party, right? The famous scene where they're at the fraternity house and Belushi says that the response to the news of being kicked off campus was toga, toga, toga. That was their response. Have a toga party. And that's what this reminds me of in a weird, bizarre way. Milei needs bailouts. His administration has various scandals that they need to deal with. And what's Malay's reaction to all of this? A rock concert, right? Anyway, that is the video, theduran.locals.com. We are on X, we are on Telegram and Rumble. And go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, and like this video. Subscribe to this channel. I always forget to say that in the beginning of my video update. I always leave it to the end. But definitely, if you like what you saw today, then hit that like button and let's short circuit the YouTube algorithms. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.